Hi, this is Susan Bennett, and I'm a voiceover talent known as the original voice of Siri.
How did you get into voiceover work to begin with? Did you start in radio?
I did not. It was actually a bit of an accident. I started off in this crazy business as a musician because I've played keyboard since I was about 4 years old. I just was able to do it by ear. And eventually started singing in high school and college. And when I moved to Atlanta, I started doing a lot of studio work, backup vocals and jingles and things like that. And one day at Doppler Studios, just around the corner from here, the voice talent didn't show up. So Pete Caldwell, who was the owner at the time, said, "Susan, you don't have an accent. Come over here and read this." And I went, "Oh, ding, 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 I can do that." So it was accidental, but it was a very happy accident.
Before you became the voice of Siri, you were associated with a lot of big clients. You've done a lot of commercial work over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the clients?
Well, you know, McDonald's, Coca-Cola, IBM, just about all the biggies at one time or another. And a lot of little ones, too.
In the beginning, did you market yourself or did you get an agent right away?
Actually, I got an agent right away. The business was very different then. Voiceover work is very, very different now than when I began. Everything was done through an agent. And actually, you had a much better shot of getting a gig through the agent because the way the system worked at the time, producers, directors, writers would contact the agent and say, "Well, give me your top 10 women in this category," and then you would have a good shot of winning the audition. Now, auditions basically go out to everybody. And so you don't even know if your audition is heard because there are so many people auditioning. And then there are a lot of production companies just on the web as well.
Well, let's talk about the Siri story. Your association with the iPhone began long before the iPhone came out, didn't it?
Well, my association with text-to-speech voices started long before the iPhone came out. The recordings that I did that eventually became the original voice of Siri were done in 2005 for a text-to-speech company. And at the time, no one could really envision where these digital voices were going. Well, of course, someone could because it happened. But those of us, you know, beginning in the industry at that time with that particular style of voice, I thought I was just recording on-hold messages, you know, things that were going to be used strictly in a phone system. And I guess, ultimately, it was a phone system, but no one could really envision that it was going to be an interactive phone system that you held in your hand. Those recordings were done in 2005, 4 hours a day, 5 days a week for the month of July.
Were you recording full phrases and different words, complete sentences at that time?
Yes, complete sentences. Sentences that were created to maximize the number of potential sounds in the English language. So any kind of combination of vowels and consonants, diphthongs, they were at times nonsensical sentences because they were just strictly written for the sounds that were created within the sentence.
So in essence, they were sampling your voice, weren't they?
Pretty much.
And then they could create from the diphthongs,
right,
the sh, the oi.
Right.
Whole words that you may have never recorded on your own.
Exactly. Yes, it's called concatenation. And the process is, I call them the Uber geeks, go in afterwards, after everything's been recorded, extract certain sounds, combine them again in a different manner to say something other than was originally recorded. So,
when did you discover that they had taken this voice sampling of yours and essentially sold it to Apple and created this Siri?
I found out in October of 2011 when Siri first came out. A colleague of mine emailed me and said, "Hey, we're playing around with this iPhone. Isn't this you?" And I went, "Really?" I went on the Apple site and listened, and I said, "Yep, that's me."
6 years had gone by since your original recording.
2011, yes.
Mm-hmm. So what did you think when you heard that, when it was confirmed?
I thought a lot of things, as you can imagine. It was troubling to me for a while, and I wasn't exactly sure what I wanted to do with the information. First of all, it took me 2 years before I finally revealed myself as the original voice of Siri, because I really wasn't sure if I wanted to deal with that. In today's market, in today's voiceover situation, anonymity is a good thing. It's nice to have people choose your voice because of the way it sounds, not because you look the way you look or are you, you know, from a certain area or any of these other physical attributes that may or may not help you. And so I wasn't sure I wanted to give up my anonymity. And I also wasn't sure how much of a big deal it was going to be. And I wasn't sure I wanted to deal with the notoriety either. So it took me a while to decide to break out.
But you were not under any contract obligation to reveal or not reveal. That was entirely...
No. If I'd had a non-disclosure, I would not have done this.
Everything that Siri says, every response has been pre-programmed, hasn't it?
Yes.
So, and a lot of people, when they hear Siri on their iPhone, if they're on vacation, they'll ask questions that have nothing to do with directions, you're aware.
Right.
Trying to get Siri to say something, off the wall,
right,
or untoward, if you will.
Right.
That can't happen because every response has been pre-programmed by the techno wizards, if you will, haven't they?
Yeah. Basically, the only relationship I have with Siri is that my voice was used for that piece of technology. Everything else that has to do with Siri has been programmed by Apple. And the interesting thing is, originally, they wanted a voice that sounded, quote, otherworldly and had a dry sense of humor, which is why sometimes Siri, has that, oh, really, sound to her. And many of the responses had to do with Steve Jobs' sense of humor. There are references in there to the Firesign Theater. And also, if you ask Siri, now things have changed. The voice has changed a bit, and some of the programming has changed. And so maybe this isn't the case anymore. But when you asked Siri in the first couple of years what the meaning of life was, she would say 42, which came from The Hitchhiker's Guide. That was a favorite of Steve Jobs. So now that he's gone, I think that influence has gone as well.
Well, Apple has a new voice now, I understand.
Yes. Yep. All the old Siris have been replaced.
Same process, though.
Same process. Mm-hmm.
Has your coming out, so to speak, affected your voice talent business?
Yes, it's affected my life quite a bit. I've gotten some more interesting work from it. One of the things that I never envisioned happening was being invited to these tech conferences, which are so interesting. And I've had the opportunity to speak at some of these conferences and introduce, MC them. And I even got to introduce Steve Wozniak and actually, spent a pretty good bit of time with him. He's a wonderful person. He's very interested in education. He was very, very forthcoming to everyone that wanted to speak with him. So that was a treat to meet him.
Have you lost or missed out on any business because, you're the voice of Siri and we don't want to be typecast that way?
I don't know. But that was one of the thoughts that I had, when I was making the decision to reveal myself, is that it's like, let's get her. She's the voice of Siri. Well, let's not get her. She's the voice of Siri. It's like everything else in life. It's a double-edged sword, And my husband and son actually were very important in convincing me that I was missing out on an opportunity. And so that's why I finally decided to say, okay, it's me.
And I know you've been asked this many times, but do you use Siri? Do you talk to yourself? Do you talk to her? It?
I really don't use it on a regular basis. It's funny. I'm not very voice-oriented. I spend so much time doing voice work, and I'm not oriented towards listening to voices. I don't listen to audiobooks. I usually just listen to music unless I'm working. And so I have not really taken advantage of Siri. At this point, I usually talk to her just as for fun. I know the voice has changed. I don't know if the attitude has changed a bit, too. I remember I asked her one time, I said, Siri, what are you doing? And she said, I'm talking to you.
Have you seen the movie Her yet?
Oh, yes.
It's for those who haven't, it's a sci-fi romance story about a gentleman who falls in love with the operating system voice, the mm-hmm. artificial intelligence on his computer.
Mm-hmm.
I have to think that when that movie came out, you probably thought, gosh, that's based on me.
Well, I think it was based on the idea of Siri. And in fact, when it was premiered in Atlanta, they asked me to speak before the premiere. And of course, I really couldn't say anything too intelligent, not having seen it. But basically, I'm sure it is the way digital voices are going. But up to this point, different voices are used for different purposes. And if you want a voice that's strictly going to give you information, it's not going to relate to you on an emotional basis, it's usually a neutral sounding voice. And so the idea of a piece of technology actually having intelligence and having emotions is a little bit hard to grasp, although I really do believe that's where we're headed. I think this is all, you know, first steps, baby steps towards artificial intelligence, and I think that's ultimately what's going to happen. I kind of hate to see it because to me it's just another step in the process of people not relating to each other, but relating more to their machines. So,
well, when you think about it, if it's possible for techno wizards, if I can use that phrase, to create words based on diphthongs, why would they not be able to take the next step and find a way to artificially manipulate nuance, emotion?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they will be able to do that.
If you can imagine,
very soon.
It's possible, I suppose.
Well, yes, because if you consider where digital voices were in 2005 when I was recording those text-to-speech phrases, the concatenated voices sounded like this, "Hello, please leave your number," you know, and it was very, very robotic and very kind of inhuman in a way. And that's why Siri was such an iconic thing, because when she was introduced in 2011, she really didn't sound that way. She had a bit of stiffness to her and some robotic sounds here and there. But for the most part, she was much more human than any of the digital voices were previously. And of course, as time goes on and technology is just, you know, improving just exponentially, you know, on what seems to be almost a daily basis, I'm sure it's going to be no time at all until we have a human-sounding voice.
Susan Bennett is a voice talent, the voice of Siri from the iPhone. It's a pleasure. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.